Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Welcome all to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Somebody's phone is going off here. Oh, got it. All right. Praise God. Welcome all of you online right now. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And today is another day that the Lord has given to us, blessed us with, and I would highly encourage that you would rejoice in it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I do want to get in the word of the Lord right away, so let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you and we adore you. As I just mentioned, Lord, we thank you for another day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for another day of life. Lord, we dedicate this day, Lord, unto you. May it glorify, Lord, your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for all the men and women who are here today, all the saints of the Lord, to worship together, Lord, in person. I pray, Lord, that they would receive what they have come here to receive from you. And equally, Lord, I pray for all of those right now online. May they receive, Lord, also that which comes only from the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you will do all of the ministering this morning. Every single thing, Lord, from beginning to end. Lord, we love you, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know you brought your Bibles this morning, yes?
Yes.
All right. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is going to be a continuation from last Tuesday morning's service. I look around and I venture to say that most of us were here last Tuesday morning. Yes, no, maybe so.
Yeah.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 6. Amen. All right, we're going to start in verse 2, right in the beginning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Let's read. The Word of God says, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" Verse 3, "Do you not know that we shall judge angels?" And then he asked this question, how much more things that pertain to this life? Can I hear one amen?
Amen.
Thank you. What was the title for last week's message? Who was here remembers the title? Thank you. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much. Praise God. Brother Peter saved all you guys right now. Do you know? You see, this is part of the Do You Know series or phrases that are expressed in this chapter concerning the roles of the saints of God. Today is a continuation of Did You Know? And today we're going to primarily speak about behavior. Your behavior. How you act. How you act presently right now will affect your future. I could even say that backwards. Your future is represented by what you do today. And you have to align yourself up today for what's about to come ahead of you. I'm getting ready to explain. Paul had taught this doctrine in Corinth, where he founded this church in Corinth. And he cited this to be an absolute proposition. I spoke about absolute propositions last week, yes? Do you remember? Well, thank you for your honesty. There are several things that are absolute in your Christian walk. Several things. If in case you don't remember, please go back and rewatch last Tuesday morning's message. An absolute proposition right now, an absolute that will not change, is that all the saints of God, we are judges. Now, please don't put on your super humble cap right now, because right now is not the time. Right now, please understand that God has given us power to rule and to judge rightfully as He does. And I know I'm ruffling some feathers right now, and everything that I'm saying this morning, I will back up with a verse. But I want to prime you right now. I want to get you ready that the Lord has given us the power to reason, to comprehend, to understand, just as much as He did to Moses and Aaron. And then there came a time where Moses laid hands and prayed over about 100 people or so, I believe, men. And they received, through the power of God, comprehension and knowledge to judge hundreds of thousands of people each. Because the entirety of the people equated to several million. And Moses wasn't able to judge every single one of them, or else he'd burn himself out. That is not just a Moses time thing. As Paul clearly states right now, I want to read the opening verse once again, because I think this might have gone over your head. There we go. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Now, jumping over to verse 3, at the end of verse 3 it says, how much more things that pertain to, it's this life right now. Right now. At this very moment. You see, if the saints are to judge the world, then I would say that it should be able to settle small matters among themselves here on earth. Wouldn't you say so? Right? If you put it at that light. So maybe you might say it right now, and you could be honest. You could be honest with yourself, and you could be honest with God. You could say, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this matter. I need some guidance. I need some help. And the Lord will help you. James says, does any of you lack knowledge? Right? Lack understanding. Lack comprehension. Thank you, Brother Peter. Let him ask of the Lord, who freely, who abundantly gives to all of those who ask, who sincerely ask. Correct? If you need wisdom, if you need the know-how to handle a situation, to approach a situation, what to do, even what not to do, there's nothing wrong with you going and approaching God. Approaching God for you to have the right discernment, the right judgment to a situation. The scriptures teach that believers will reign with the Lord over the earth when He returns also, and will do so in power and glory, and that matters of judgment will be committed to all of those who are firm with the Lord. firm with God. If in case you did not know this, please be made aware this morning. This is what's going to happen. And if Christians are to judge the world, they should not be able to handle minor differences. Shouldn't they be able to handle minor differences between one another? Minor difference, things that are really not a big deal, but are made into a big deal. These are all behavioral issues that we must be aware of. Amen? Now, moving on to the second phase here. I want you all to turn to John chapter 5. John 5, 22, and I'll wait for you to get there. I want you to read with me John chapter 5, verse 22. All right, I'll go ahead and take that. It says, for the Father judges no one. Is that what the Word of God says? Does the Word of God say that the Father judges no one? But has committed all judgment to who? And who is the Son? Jesus Christ. You see, the Son's ability to give life, listen to what I'm saying, to give vigor, life, ability, is also coupled with His right to judge humanity. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 5, 27, still in verse in chapter 5, if you jump down to 27, it says, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. You see, the Father has placed this authority in the hand of the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, let's couple that with the Lord giving power to the church. If you read the Word of God, you study the Word of God, you will know that all things have been placed under His feet, right? All things have been placed under the feet of the Lord Jesus. That is including judgment. And all those things that has been placed under the feet of God now has been placed for the church to operate through. And that includes righteous judgment. Without righteous judgment, brothers and sisters, many of us are going to go through this world lost without knowing what to do. And I'm not talking about lost as far as you losing your salvation. Lost as though you don't have a barometer. Going through up and downs when you should not be going through up and downs. This also includes your health, because it is Tuesday, how to keep your healing service. This will also translate to your bodily health. But you have to be able to discern, you have to be able to rightfully judge under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, I'm going to go ahead and read it. If in case you would like to turn there, you can. Revelation 3, 21 says, to him who overcomes. Mind you, there is an overcoming that has to happen. Let me have the camera for just a moment, please. Do you overcome nothingness? If you have nothing, is there anything to overcome? No? I was watching a movie just a few days ago with my wife, and I had company. I had my in-laws, a couple of my in-laws at the house. We watched a movie, and in this movie, several of the characters who were military characters, they had a big blotch right here. It was like the big old patch here. And it was all colorful. And it had all types of stripes and all different types of colors and all types of metals, things hanging, you know, up here, one by one, side by side. Very illustrated, very beautiful. All those big bulky things over here. You know what I'm talking about, right? All those badges, so to speak. Which is in, this is a reflection of real life. How do you think all those men got those badges? Through doing nothing? Sitting in the office? Pushing paper? Chances are they got up there and swung the sword, right? Well, we're past all of that now. Fire the shot. Was out there in the battlefield, out there fighting, out there commanding, instructing, putting even their own lives on the line. And they have earned those stripes. They have overcome something in the essence of a battle, of a conflict, correct? And as a result, they were awarded stripes to honor them. And it'll always stay with them. Amen? Mind you, let's bring the same mindset right now to the Word of God. And also the life that you live right now. You will have things that you will have to overcome. This appeals to Christians, you know. Not non-Christians. Not non-believers. This appeals to the men and women of God concerning the extent of one's intimacy with the Lord Jesus. Him or her who overcomes. Let's continue reading. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, what do people on thrones do? They rule. What else do they do as part of ruling? Thank you. Thank you, Brother Arthur. And I think somebody else over here whispered it almost like I might get this wrong. They judge. They judge. I just thought about something right now. Can somebody with no authority have any type of judgment? Powers? Do you think so? I'd say no. If someone doesn't have any type of power or authority, if that makes better sense, can they judge anything? And even if they try to judge anything, will anybody follow that judgment? They're not going to pay that person any mind. So think about it. You have to overcome something. And your judgment and your ruling starts right now. Right now. And we are to be overcomers. Every single one of us. And imagine sharing the throne of our Lord Jesus himself. I venture to say that that's better than any badge or stripe than one can ever earn here on earth. I would say so. I don't know about yourself. Amen? Amen. You see, you have to respond. You have to respond to this faith. You have to respond to this character. And to those who do respond, our Lord Jesus promises to give them the right to sit with him on his own throne and share in his victory. That's every single one of us. Did you know that? Amen? Let's continue on reading. I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to do a lot of our studying here this morning from 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to pick up in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Are we there? Amen? Okay. This is going to be the second half, the second phase of the sermon this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, it reads, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" We briefly discussed this just a couple of minutes ago. All of these promises are for the believer. All of these promises are for the righteous. And equally, as the Word of God says here, the unrighteous do not have rights to any of this. Back to the Word of God. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he says, do not be deceived. This is very important for you to understand. In the days that we're living in right now, in the moments, in the times that we are living in right now, I just want to briefly say, there are a lot of doctrines that are going on right now that are not aligned with the Word of God. Be watchful and learn how to judge rightly according to the Spirit of God. There are churches right now accepting certain people that are listed on the list that we are getting ready to read and think it's perfectly fine. It is not perfectly fine. And we judge according to what the Bible says. This is not my personal opinion. This is the opinion of the Lord, which is the only opinion that matters. Amen? I don't have an alternate Bible. I don't have an alternate translation. This is the pure word of the Lord. Right now, there are many doctrines and there are many things circulating that is trying to deceive the body of Christ in these last days. We cannot fall for that. Let's go back. In the middle of verse 9, it says, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Period. Verse 11, and this is interesting right now. Look at the love of the Lord for us. "And such were some of you." Boy, Paul didn't hold back right now, did he? "And such were some of you guys right here, right now." Not referring to us right here, right now. I'm speaking as though I was Paul. Make that perfectly clear. But here we go. "But you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Amen? This clearly states that there is a turnaround point for every single one of us. This is one of the reasons why Paul says, not looking to the past, but looking to the future. I run the race. I run the course, forgetting those things that are behind me. And focusing and striving for the things that are ahead of me, that are forward. Amen? Amen? We have all been washed. We have all been sanctified. We have been purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And it is through His Holy Spirit that we are able to rightfully judge every single thing. Here is the third reminder of Paul in his series, Do You Not Know? Amen? And what we just finished reading right now, in this third series of Do You Not Know, this was probably meant to complement the thought that we find just a few verses back, found in verse 4. Do you just want to back up a little bit to verse 4? We just finished reading 9 through 11. Just go back to verse 4 right now, 1 Corinthians 6. You can put it up, verse 4. Check this out. If then you have judgment, if then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? You see here? You see, even still, it also illustrated the gap between the Corinthians' future position and their present practice right there at that very time. Paul right now was speaking of the future. He was saying, your future is bright. Your future right now is to rule with Christ. Your future right now is going to be one that you never, ever, ever imagined as being a ruler with the Lord. However, look at how you are acting right now at this very moment. And this is the basis of our message this morning. The way that we are acting today will affect our future. This is what Paul was saying once upon a time. The wicked, the unrighteous, would have no share in the kingdom of the Lord because they were not related to the Lord, because they didn't accept God. The wicked would one day be judged based upon their wickedness, which their wickedness would condemn them. But you want to know something? As Paul writes here, the righteous of the Lord were acting the same way of those who didn't know God. This is the basis here. You cannot act the same way that you always used to act. There must be a difference. There has to be a difference. It is impossible for you to receive the Lord, receive all that is from God, and you still behaving the same way that you always have. That will never work. And as a result, right now, this is the difference between the righteous person and the unrighteous person. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, is going to really dial in and break down what I just finished saying right now, just so it could better help you understand my point here this morning. Revelation 20, 13. A very important verse for you to know. You could even use this verse to evangelize if you want. It's a little bit on the strong side, but nonetheless, it is the truth. We can't run away from it. I'm ready for that. Let me have that, please. It says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And then the Word of God says, and they were judged, each one according to his works. According to what? Works. What does works mean? As plainly as you could define it. Thank you. That's exactly it. The things that you are doing right now. Right now. Everything that you do, you will be judged by, whether good or bad. That also includes things that you were supposed to judge. Things that you were supposed to finalize, to put an end, to represent God rightfully. We cannot judge timidly. Do you understand my analogy right now? No? You cannot judge things fearfully or wondering whether or not you cannot have a double mind. You cannot have double personality. You cannot have split opinions. You must be of oneness, of one mind. And I highly recommend one mind with the Holy Spirit. And you see, here in this particular illustration, the saints right now in Corinth, we're talking about Christian people. They were acting exactly like unbelievers. And Paul called them out on it. He said, you can't be acting this way. You've been bought at a high price. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been justified. You've been sanctified by the Lord Jesus. And now you have the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot act this way. There's a word here that is the word adikoi, which is the word unrighteous that we've been reading here in 1 Corinthians 6. We read it in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. And was also used in 1 Corinthians 6, 1. This word can also be translated the ungodly. However, there's a verb that has been thrown in there, which takes it from the word adikoi to adikite, which means do wrong. And this word was used in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 6 to describe the Corinthians' behavior. And I want to read there verse 6. Can you put up for me, please, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 6, 8. It says, no, you yourself do wrong and cheat. And you do these things to who? To who? Your brethren. You do these things to your brethren. Who is your brother? Are we all sure of who the brethren are here? Who's that? Church members. Church members. Brothers and sisters, the future of the Corinthians, their future role should have radically affected their practice in the present. And right now, these same instructions at this very moment apply to every single one of us. Our role here today affects us in so many different areas that you might not even be aware of prior to this morning. You might have not known. And hence the series here, Did You Know? Your actions and your behaviors, they all count for something, including your judgment. You have to judge rightly. I want to close out with 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, that says this, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. And just as the Lord, just as He is pure. Amen? Amen? You see, anything less than this, otherwise, the Apostle Paul warned the church once upon a time, you are being deceived. And we don't want to be deceived. We have to be able to judge. We have to be able to discern. We have to be able to walk in love. And it all starts here inside. Yes, we have troubles and we have tribulations. Yes, we have discord. Yes, we have ups and downs and differences. However, let us judge those matters accordingly. Let us judge those things according to the will of God. Because it doesn't just stop here. It's going to go beyond this lifetime. It's going to go forever in God's kingdom. Amen? Without trying, I found myself this week and part of last week teaching a lot about the kingdom of God. And I just noticed that today. Sometimes the Lord briefs me on certain things ahead of time, and other times He doesn't. And I just go along with the flow, meaning God's flow. So, just analyzing some of the words that have been brought forth here within the last couple of weeks, the Lord has brought to our attention quite a bit things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So please don't take this word lightly. Take it to heart. Amen?
Amen.
By all means, if you have any questions, if you have any doubts, you're welcome to speak with me, or even better yet, take it with the Lord. You know, Lord, show me your ways. Show me your word. You know, but the Lord right now, it is my opinion that the Lord right now is calling our attention these days concerning the kingdom of the Lord. And it all starts right here, right now, at this present time. So let us rightfully judge correctly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we praise you, Lord. Exalted be your name forever. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your teaching. We thank you, Lord, how you are guiding us every step of the way, guiding your church, guiding your people. And I pray, Lord, that we would hold fast to your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would not just be hearers, but doers of every single thing that you teach us. Doers of your word, Lord. May it maintain in our hearts. May we not forget. May it not go in one ear and out the other. May we cherish, Lord, your instructions in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, so much for your guidance. Thank you, Lord. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you.
The name of God for this wonderful message, amen. We bless the name of the Lord, and now we're going to give to God, we are returned to Him, what is His, our offerings and tithes and gifts to the Lord, amen. Please stretch your hands towards this offering. Lord, we bless you because you bless us first. We love you because you loved us first. We thank you so much for providing for all our needs. We thank you so much for healing us when we are sick. We thank you so much for blessing us, bless us far above and beyond what we can ask or think. Receive, Lord, this offering unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.